I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with CISA Deputy Director Nitin Natarajan. We're going to be speaking about CISA and some of the work it's done over the last 4 years and what might be in store in the next few years ahead. So, Deputy Director, you're set to leave CISA this month once the Trump administration takes office and new leadership takes over CISA. What are you most proud of when it comes to the cybersecurity work CISA tackled during your tenure there, and why?
Great question. I think there's a lot of work that we did that was visible. I think there's a lot of work we did that was not as publicly visible that really helped move the organization forward. I would offer to folks that if you look at CISA today and the CISA from 4 years ago, and we've made a significant amount of progress. And I'd offer it in some places it's not recognizable anymore. In other places, it's built upon a great history of a foundational work that's been set in the past. And so I think if you look at our work in the federal civilian executive branch or our work within the federal government to really strengthen the federal government's cybersecurity, we've made huge strides in visibility, transparency, in the understanding where the risks and vulnerabilities are and how best to mitigate them. And that work is often not as publicly seen, but I think we've made an immense amount of progress in that space. I think our work looking at ransomware has also been a huge success of ours. Specifically, things like our pre-ransomware notification initiative. When we started an initiative, basically hoping that we could let some potential victims know that ransomware actors are sitting on their network, but haven't detonated their payload, as they say, yet. And we thought that we'd be able to help a few entities that way. That's turned into over the last year and plus into several thousand organizations that we've been able to notify, especially if you look at critical infrastructure owners and operators. We've been able to prevent healthcare institutions and others from being encrypted by ransomware actors. So a huge success of ours that went way beyond, I think, our imagination, and it continues to still help organizations around the country. I think our work on partnerships and really continuing to strengthen our role as the National Coordinator for Critical Infrastructure, our work with the JCDC, our work with international partners, has really helped build a foundation of a network of organizations that are working together with state, local, tribal, territorial colleagues, the private sector, to tackle common adversaries and common vulnerabilities that we're seeing around the globe. And I think a lot of that has been reflected in our alerts, advisories, and products. If you look at the information sharing that we do, rarely will people see a CISA-only branded product these days. The vast majority of what we put out is co-branded by other federal agencies. It's co-branded by international partners, really showing the solidarity, the expertise, and the collaboration that goes into this. And I think the last point I'll make is a lot of work we've done over the last 4 years to focus on strengthening the foundation of the agency. If you look at CISA, we are 6 years young. We are running at the table with our colleagues in the Defense Department and Justice and others that have been around for decades and decades and decades. So for us, I felt it was important for us to really solidify that foundation of our agency to be able to grow and to be to tackle new vulnerabilities and challenges more effectively. And I think we've done a lot of that internally to help strengthen our foundation for future growth.
So, what are you expecting or hoping we might see for CISA under the Trump administration and the new administration's approach to national and critical infrastructure cybersecurity, including in the healthcare sector? What cybersecurity efforts by CISA and Biden administration overall do you think are most important for the next administration to continue, and why?
I think a lot of our foundational work in the on our efforts to serve as a national coordinator, I think really has been key. Our work on strengthening the federal government cybersecurity, our efforts that would need to continue, and I think that they will continue as we push forward on those fronts. I think looking at how we're able to continue to better understands our risks and vulnerabilities. How do we continue to do stronger analysis on understanding cascading impacts and consequence analysis for impacts to critical infrastructure? How are we able to better understand global supply chain vulnerabilities and mitigation opportunities? as we really live in a global world. So I think that a lot of those issues, frankly, are apolitical. They're the things that we need to do is to meet the core fundamental mission of an agency that's focused on building resilience in our nation's critical infrastructure from cyber and physical risks. So I think that work will continue. I think, any new administration that comes in is always has a little bit different way of doing things and are going to focus on different areas or may have a different means to get there. But I think that a lot of this is going to keep pushing in those same fundamental areas as we need to as a nation to build more resilience.
When it comes to the healthcare sector, what would you like to see CISA do, moving forward that maybe it didn't get a chance to do yet, or maybe it could have done better? What would you like to see that could push the sector into a better cybersecurity posture?
And there's a couple of elements. One really focuses, how can we do more for rural healthcare? How can we do more for small hospitals and healthcare institutions that just don't have the resources to better protect themselves? And I think that we're asking organizations to protect themselves against cyber criminals, against nation state actors at times. And how can we do that? How can we help smaller institutions to be able to adequately protect themselves? And I think there's more in that space that we need to look at. Really excited about the work that HHS has done on really looking at cybersecurity goals and how do we raise that baseline of cybersecurity within the healthcare space. So it would be interesting to see more in that arena to really understand how do we help the industry at large raise that baseline on what are the elements that everybody agrees upon that need to be met in order to just be more resilient against these cyber threats and cyber risks that individuals are seeing. And doing that in a way that's collaborative with industry, with our partners, and making sure that we have all viewpoints and perspectives participating in that process.
So when it comes to the healthcare sector, often you have to kind of push them along. Then there was prior talk of potential sticks and carrots to try to get healthcare sector entities to do even some of the basic stuff that they should be doing. But with the new administration coming in, there's a good chance that we'll see less regulation. What suggestions do you have, saying that there is, less regulation that would actually prompt the healthcare sector to make advancements in its cybersecurity?
I think as we look at, there's always just different ways to kind of continue to push the bar forward. And I think having more reporting and having more visibility on incidents that are happening around the sector, I think is helpful. I think it's difficult when you're in an organization and you feel as if this isn't going to happen to me, or this isn't happening as broadly as we think it is. It could result in people just believing, hey, I'm going to make my risk calculus and where I'm going to invest and where I'm going to accept risk slightly differently than knowing, the volume and frequency and complexity of attacks that we are seeing in the healthcare space. So I think, unfortunately, because we're not seeing our adversaries let up on their attacks, unfortunately, I think we're going to see more of these types of attacks. And the more visibility that the sector has, the more that they're going to want to work to protect themselves as they identify what those steps and elements are. Now, CISA, ourselves, we're not a regulator in that space. So I think, from us, we've been, focused on the voluntary partnership and doing all we can to make sure people are aware of the threats, the vulnerabilities of what we're seeing in the sector, and really helping them build the case on taking the steps that they need to in order to build that risk. And I think, at the end of the day, the way I look at cybersecurity isn't a light switch. It's not something that we are going to wake up one morning, flip the switch, and we are now cyber secure. It's 100, 500 dimmer switches. And as long as each day we're going in and we're moving one of those dimmer switches up, we're making progress. And so I think as different teams come in and out, they're going to move different dimmer switches. They're going to focus on different dimmer switches. But I think as long as we're moving some of those switches up and not down, we're moving in the right direction. And that's not any different from any other organization. If you look at any hospital, you look at any medical manufacturing entity, distribution, pharma company, labs, blood, biotech, insurers, payers, HMOs, they're each sized, shaped, designed, equipped, resourced differently to move different dimmer switches up. So, having each of them kind of focus on where they can make those differences and then committing to continually to make those differences is what's going to raise the overall resilience in the sector.
So we've seen a lot of ransomware attacks on the healthcare sector. Looking ahead, what are the new or emerging or even worsening developments and cyber threats that are most worrisome to you right now when it comes to the healthcare sector and why?
So I think ransomware is definitely still a major issue. I'm not sure that's going to go away anytime soon. I think we are continuing to do all we can to make it harder and more costly for our adversaries to conduct these attacks. But I think that's one area of concern. Obviously, the PRC is another, and the relentless attacks that they have on our nation's critical infrastructure, the pre-positioning on our nation's critical infrastructure. With the sole intent of disrupting the day-to-day lives of Americans. I think that those elements are concerning. I think that some of the recent cyber incidents we've seen in the sector have also shed in light on things like third-party risk and how are we able to more effectively manage and deal with our third-party risks in the healthcare sector. Is there's great, amazing new technology and capabilities that are coming into the healthcare space. That I know a lot of clinicians and hospitals are excited to implement. But how do we make sure that we are able to do effective due diligence, that we're able to understand and accept our third-party risks with full transparency? And how do we continue to make more progress in that space as we see more technology coming into the marketplace?
So now you mentioned third parties, and we've talked about ransomware attacks, and it's been nearly a year since the highly disruptive ransomware attack on Change Healthcare. Now that this, 1 year or so has passed, what are the top lessons that you think have emerged from that incident that the healthcare sector and other critical infrastructure sectors really need to be paying close attention to and acting on, and why?
I think we've seen a few things come out of Change, and is one definitely much more public visibility on the vulnerabilities within the healthcare sector. I think that unfortunately, many more people were impacted by the attack on Change, and I think that has shed more insight into the vulnerabilities and frankly, with what the threat landscape looks like in the healthcare sector. I think one of the other big lessons learned is really making sure organizations have walked away and realized where they have single points of failure within the organization and where those critical nodes are, and how really trying to do a little bit more critical evaluation of what other potential critical nodes may exist within their organizations. Now, and often the third element that I think was that came from it is a continuation of a lot of the work we've done over the last few years, which is to elevate the discussion of cybersecurity from just the CISOs into the C-suite, getting CEOs and boards of directors, and in the case of public hospitals, senior elected officials engaged in the discussion of cybersecurity. And I think that a lot there have been a lot more discussions over the last several years than there have been in the last 15 years. But I think Change helped expedite some of those conversations or helped get those conversations into organizations that may not have had them in the past. Because at the end of the day, I look at risk as a three-legged stool. I look at risk identification and risk mitigation as two legs of that, and we spend a lot of time there. The third leg of that stool to me is risk acceptance. And that risk acceptance should not reside solely with the CISOs. That risk acceptance ultimately resides with the CEOs, with boards of directors, those that are making the decisions on where investments are going to go. And we can't mitigate all risks that we don't have a magic bubble that we can put across or on top of our organizations and magically protect them. But we need to start looking at these as true enterprise risks. And I think that coming out of Change and coming out of sadly other attacks we've seen in the healthcare space over the last several years, those discussions are being had now in the boardroom. They're being had amongst the C-suites that weren't before. And we're even hearing about organizations, more organizations, I should say, some have been doing this for several years, talking about cybersecurity and cyber risks and cyber vulnerabilities as part of mergers and acquisitions within healthcare. We're going to bring an organization into our corporate umbrella. How do we make sure that we understand the tech debt and the risks that we're accepting? And so I think it's been helpful to spur a lot more of those conversations. And I wish it didn't take something like that to do that, but I think it's been helpful in continuing to evolve the conversation.
Any particular advice to smaller healthcare entities and smaller hospitals that might not have resources to, do everything that they should be doing in cyber that can help them stretch those efforts so that they are more effectively protected?
I would say reach out. I mean, we are here to help. CISA and HHS have committed to helping healthcare organizations around the country to help build their cyber resilience. CISA has cybersecurity advisors in communities throughout the country. We have people in all 50 states, in Guam, Puerto Rico, as well. And so we encourage healthcare organizations to reach out to the regional CISA teams Now they can reach them through our website, and we can work with HHS and others to bring kind of the resources of the federal government to bear. We do have some tools and services, like our cyber vulnerability scanning and others, that are available free of charge to organizations. So we do have those types of tools. We have assessments that we can do to help identify challenges and shortfalls. We have a cyber grant program that's gone to state entities, and so there's always opportunities there to look at leveraging some of that funding. So I think there's a lot of resources available from CISA, from HHS, from private sector companies that have offered that are leaning in and trying to help rural healthcare and smaller healthcare organizations. Reach out to our teams. Let's have a conversation and find out what the right solutions are based on the size, scope, maturity of an organization. What are the appropriate tools and resources we can bring to bear to help?
And finally, what's next for you? I know you have roots in the healthcare sector. Any possibility that you might return to healthcare?
As they say, the world is my oyster, I think, to some extent. I don't have any formal plans as of yet. I would love to stay in the critical infrastructure space and continue to help our infrastructure owners and operators. Definitely healthcare is something near and dear to my heart and something I've been involved in for decades now. So ideally, if the overlap in all those Venn diagrams overlap, that would be ideal. But I'll see. I'm committed to pushing here through the end. So I will be here through the 20th, and then we'll work to figure out what my next steps are.
Well, thank you so much, Deputy Director, and thank you for your time there at CISA. I've been speaking to Nitin Natarajan. I'm Mary Ann Kobusuk-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.